This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Glad you're with us. Half hour being brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. And the pickle bar, led by the world-famous Barrels and Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time to bring in Bob Flounders, PennLive.com. Bob, always a pleasure, my friend. Great to have you back with us.
Hey, Steve, I just want to say that was a spirited ad you just did for Brewers Outlet. You're a man after my own heart. I appreciate that. If I was any closer to where you guys were, I'd probably stop in.
That's the entire idea of it. Oh, that's great, Bob. All right, so it's bounce back time for this team. So body of work to this point. The body of work is eight games to this point. We know it's 7-1. What's been the positive part of the body of work? What's the body part of the body of work that would have you concerned?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think the things that stand out to me are a couple of things. You know, it didn't always show up in the Ohio State loss, but I really do believe the development of Drew Aller in his second year, Steve. He's made some awfully big plays when they've needed him to. I think he's a more confident player. I think that I think he's a player that's not afraid to make mistakes. He's definitely not the same player he was last year. He's become a more complete quarterback, not only at the line of scrimmage, but also with his mobility, whether it's either it's running or just extending plays. I think that is a big, big positive. I also think a storyline that I think is a little bit under the radar is they lost three really good offensive linemen, and I feel pretty good about what I've seen from this offensive line. Nick Dawkins, Vega Ione, Anthony Donko, when healthy, right? I think those guys have been very good. I did not see Tyler Warren's season coming the way that it is played out. I know he's one of the better tight ends in the country. I thought that coming in, but I didn't believe he would be the best tight end in the country. That, to me, is noteworthy. Some other assistant coaches, Terry Smith, Anthony Poindexter, Deion Barnes. I could not have gone smoothly, Steve. That was a pretty good defensive mind that they lost. But I think the key moment was Tom Allen going up into the coaching booth where he can kind of call the game better. I think Dan Connor has done a good job communicating to the defense from the sideline. Yeah. They lost one of the best safeties in the country, and Zakee Wheatley, and especially Jalen Reed. Those guys, Jalen Reed is worthy of All-American considerations. Zakee Wheatley might be in line for some All-Big Ten consideration as well. Those are the positives, I think, that really I also think you have to give Ryan Barker credit.
Yeah.
Coming off the bench, and he hasn't missed a field goal yet. That's kind of a big deal. They'd have two losses if not for Ryan Barker, because they wouldn't have won the USC game. Right. And I just think the things that are compelling to me that really have not gone well are two things. The running game just has not been the same. since the end of September. I don't know how you feel about it. I don't think Nick Singleton is completely healthy. I don't know that for a fact, but the running numbers are the running numbers. He's not the same explosive player as a runner. He's still doing damage as a passer, but I think as a receiver, excuse me, Steve. But I do think that that has had an effect on the entire offense and the way Andy Kovalnicki calls the game. And I would also say this. I think the wideouts are better, but against really tough competition like Ohio State, the wideouts still aren't where they need to be. So to me, those are the storylines for a team that's got one loss. They played very hard against, I think, I would still put Ohio State near the very top of the list of the best teams in the country. I'm not so sure they're not if they play error-free. But I think this play very hard. They had some breaks that did not go their way. But to be 7-1 and to have played on the road like they have, Steve, against some pretty tough teams, I think if you're a Penn State fan, you're disappointed about last week. But I think this team, considering all the talent that they lost and some of the coordinators that they lost, I think this team has really, really gotten better as the season's progressed. And I do expect them to win their final four regular season game.
All right. So you mentioned Singleton in that. Singleton has worked very hard to become a better receiver. And you can just see in hand placement, instead of being a body catcher, the hand placement's now out. Right. Whatever his situation is, what does it mean to the offense to get that kind of guy at least in space in the passing game?
Yeah, he is one of the better pass catching backs in the Big Ten. I mean, I don't know how many teams throw to their backs, but Steve, this is really something. I think if you go back to the last couple of games of 2023, when they made the coordinator change and Ty Hall and Jawan Sider were running the offense, the last couple of games, they made a conscious effort to get the ball in the hands of their best players in space. And I think part of that was getting Nick Singleton in space. It's not always hard to do that when he's running the ball against Big Ten defenses. There's just not that much room, especially against the better defenses. But in space, if he's only got to make one guy miss with his athleticism, he's a sure-handed kid. In space, he becomes a more dynamic player. And I do think his role as a receiver has vastly improved, right? He's also very good in pass protection, which is an overlooked thing unless you're an NFL team or an NFL scout. Mm-hmm. But I think, though, that is kind of – if you're Kovalnicki and you're Drew Aller, and you know maybe he's not quite physically right, and again, I'm not saying this for sure. I'm just telling you how it looks when he runs the ball. I am definitely committed to getting him the ball as a receiver at least 4 or 5 times a game because – he does make plays. He can get first downs. Drew Aller has his trust, and he's come a long way as a pass catcher and big.
Abdul Carter at the defensive end spot. Linebacker last year, spends 75% of the game, maybe 80% of the game at defensive end. What have been your thoughts, Bob?
Boy, I mean, it was the right move. It was clearly the right move. I think he, as disruptive as he is, Steve, even when he was a linebacker, even his true freshman season and last year, when they set him on a blitz, they let him kind of get up the field and not really worry about anything else. Not that he's not a great athlete and can impact the game in pass coverage. He's a devastating weapon. You know, he doesn't, whether it's speed, whether it's power, whether it's converting speed to power, there are 300-pound offensive linemen that are very good that have just struggled with him. I just remember the West Virginia game, Steve. That left tackle for West Virginia, he might go in the first 2 rounds of the draft. I think his name's Wyatt Millen.
Yes, it is.
I don't think last year he allowed a sack. If you look at what Abdul did in that game, they got on him for his penalties, but whether he was rushing against Wyatt or whether it was rushing against the right tackle, he caused an awful lot of trouble, and he was still raw as a defensive end. They had to chip on him. They couldn't let their backs come out and catch passes, and he just missed on 2 or 3 sacks. And he's as the Big Ten season, as we've gotten deeper into it, every game, Steve, he's either very close to making a disruptive play or he's making several disruptive plays. And in that Ohio State game, he had a couple of real big plays. And, you know, it happens on every play, Penn State or Ohio State. There are a couple times they had to grab him or he would have had maybe double the amount of sacks and disruptive plays that he did.
Right, exactly. The linebacking play to this point, especially not so much Tony Rojas, but Kobe King.
Yeah.
When you watch him and his development from where he was 2 years ago to where he is now, what are you seeing, Bob?
Well, I think on the list of most underrated players on the Penn State team, there's a lot of them, but he's in my top three. He is a guy that, as he's developed, he's got, I think if you're Penn State's defensive staff and you're his teammates, he's a guy that he's always going to have the defense in the right spot, and he's also a guy that you don't really have to worry about. He's such a physical presence when it comes to stopping the run. And Penn State, you know, they've seen some pretty good running backs this year, and sometimes, yeah. I mean, really good running backs. But there's also that game. He's a good running back. He didn't do much there. I think Kobe King is getting more and more well-rounded as a player, and I think that's critical for him if he wants to play at the next level. It's so hard. I talked to Dan Connor yesterday on a conference call. He was saying, you know what, 20 years ago, myself and Paul Puzzle, not that much to think about when we were out there. It was a different game. There was no RPOs. There was no spread. So we could see it and react to it. You can't do that really anymore if you're a linebacker. They're gonna spread you out. They're gonna try and confuse you. They're gonna throw it more than they run it. And the checklist, Dan Connor essentially said, makes it crazy hard to be a three down linebacker, even a two down linebacker, because they throw on first down. I think Kobe King is one of the underrated players, not only on the Penn State team, but in the Big Ten. He's a guy that I think that James Franklin and Tom Allen trust, and that's not something that's easy to do. But they're playing at a high level for a number of reasons on defense. I think Kobe King really is one of them, and I don't think you really, unless you're watching the game in person and not on TV, you don't see all the stuff that he does for Penn State.
This is an odd situation because it's the whiteout. That's fine. It's Washington, right? Name opponent on a whiteout. But the game's on Peacock. What were your thoughts when you saw how that played out, Bob?
My thoughts were this was a money decision. The networks are paying a lot of money to get the right to call the games they want to call, and I mean Peacock has had some games featuring some pretty good Big Ten teams on previously this season, but if you're a television network, whether it's NBC or it's Peacock, you get a chance to pick a Penn State whiteout game, you would have to be insane to pass on it.
Right.
It's a new dynamic. I think the fans are still adjusting to just really how much college football is TV dependent because of the financial considerations, but it's not going away. And this, a game like this, really, Steve, it goes hand in hand with, you know, Fox and the Big Noon Kickoff, you know, wanting all of the best Penn State games, if it's their choice, to be early in the day. And, you know, a couple of years ago, it's 2019 or it's 2021 or whatever it is, and it's Fox's turn. This game's probably not going to – the Penn State-Ohio State game or the Penn State-Michigan game, it's not necessarily going to be a day game. It's going to be a night game. But it's the world we live in. They're paying the Big Ten a lot of money. And I think as we go on, Steve, I think Penn State fans are just going to have to learn to live with it.
Well, I know they have to learn to live with it because they're going to have no choice with it. It's just and I know that this is the particular of all the weekends Notre Dame is playing its night game with Florida State. Thus, NBC is carrying that game. That did play a role in this, but to put it on streaming, you're like, I realize it's the world we live in, but man, that just to me, maybe it's the old timer in me coming out, just doesn't feel right.
Yeah, this isn't going to be the last time I think it happens. Definitely won't be. But it's tough to kind of reconcile the fact that a whiteout game is going to be on a stream, network essentially. It's a weird feeling, but Steve, it's a pretty weird world.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. We're living in a weird world. That's it. And a lot, there's in a wide variety of areas.
Sure.
What have you, part of that is 18 teams in the Big Ten and four in the West Coast. That's part of the weird world we live in. This will be the third one of those that Penn State has played. What has been your thought on the expansion, at least in the initial read of it?
I think it makes sense to me. They added four blue chip, brands.
Yep.
The Big Ten. I think it will pay off down the road. UCLA and USC are not what they have been.
Right.
But I think in the world of the transfer portal and NIL, I think that can change pretty quickly. You can rebuild on the fly a lot easier. I'm still trying to figure out the USC team from afar.
They
only know how to lose hotly contested, controversial games. It might be one of the better teams. I think they have a losing record, and I'm scratching my head after watching them play Penn State, to the bitter end. But I think the expansion's been good. I also think, I will say this, Steve, I think it's been a bigger adjustment for the West Coast teams for now coming east than the East Coast teams going west, just because of the time change. And I really don't agree, Steve, with I know why they do it. I don't really agree with TV putting West Coast teams on in a noon window on the East Coast. I just think it's a pretty big disadvantage.
Yes.
And I hope moving forward, I don't feel like that's necessarily a fair playing field. I know travel is what it is, and that's kind of – I think teams will look at travel a different way when they're going – moving forward, if they're going to go across the country, whether it's flying out a day earlier or something like that, but it's a tight turnaround to play a really really physical sport and then have to get on a plane and immediately go back and fly 6 hours across the country. This is another thing that I think they're gonna have to let the teams maybe stay if they're traveling cross country a little longer, just so their bodies can adjust, and they don't have to get on a plane after playing, a night game, and then fly back across the country. It doesn't make sense to me, but I think in year one there were going to be some things that needed to be ironed out. That's one of them. But I do think moving forward, it will be a smoother experience.
Yeah, no, I think it's, to me, I love it. I think it's been great. I think they do have to iron out a few things. And by the way, Washington's flying in today, just so everybody knows. And the reason they're flying in today is because the game is tomorrow night at 8:05 Pacific time. He says they feel they can do this instead of coming in on Thursday like they did at Iowa and Indiana. So, all right, Bob, always a pleasure. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Steve, it's always a pleasure to write back at you. Keep doing those beer distributor ads. I'm an avid fan. I'll be on your show anytime, and I'll see you tomorrow as well.
Thanks, Bob. And this half hour, just to make sure Bob has a complete understanding, is brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Rankin Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hubbles Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai. The best in new inventory. I went with Ford. It's been everything I could ask for. And the buying experience was everything I could ask for. No pressure. Just wanted to see what fit me. It'll be the same for you. And great pre-owned inventory. When I was there, I saw the lots were filled with them. And you know what's cool? They go over each and every one with a fine-tooth comb. That way, your buying experience is eased. Terrific service department. Quick Lane is tremendous. Along with routine, difficult, they handle it all. Inspections, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Mount Carmel and Lewisburg tonight. Meanwhile, Todd's hitting the road to join the Southern Columbia band.
I don't know about the band. My days of playing the instrument are long gone.
Oh, brutal. But you're trying to see if Southern Columbia's run down the stretch is real, or whether the rain is over.
Pretty much, and it should be a fun one. I think I've mentioned this before. There's so many good games tonight. I kind of wish they would have spread them out a little more than they did.
I think everything's tonight, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, it's one-stop shopping. And that Lewisburg-Mount Carmel game's at Milton tonight.
And we'll be on the Valley, 100.9.
100.9, the Valley. Greg Wetzel will be there. So there you go. Big night in high school football. I know here, State High is taking on Erie McDowell. Cooper Cousins said to me in no uncertain terms Wednesday, Erie McDowell will win and win big. I'd like to point out that he is a graduate of Harry McDowell, so he's a little prejudice involved here. So we'll find out. And the game's at State High, by the way.
I wonder if someone, a rather large man, will be standing on the McDowell sidelines tonight.
I would doubt it. Practice is this afternoon. Once you get, and you go to the hotel. Once you're at the hotel, you're at the hotel.
Oh, yeah, I freaking, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he will. I doubt he'll be there.
I doubt it. I forget. It's like not like small college football,
right? Because they're going to go from 3:30 to about 4:20 today, and then the buses will leave for the hotel probably about 5:15 or so. But at that point, once you're in. Yeah, so. So I would doubt Cooper can go to the game tonight. It's part of being on a big league football team. which is they've all ached to be a part of, right? Mm-hmm. They all have ached to be a part of it. Washington here tomorrow night at 8. So let's give you a thumbnail of Washington. Number one, good football team. I mean, let's not pretend they're not. They are. They are good. I give Jed Fish and his staff a lot of credit because last year Washington went to the national championship game with a senior-laden team that was well coached by Kalen DeBoer, and then when the run was over, he took the Alabama job. Washington players either graduated or exhausted eligibility, and moved on. And you see them playing in the NFL right now, many of them. So Jed Fish comes in from Arizona. He effectively uses the transfer portal. And you could see right away that they're well-coached, good players. Quarterback Will Rogers, getting it from Mississippi State, really helped. Now, Devon Williams, whom I also expect to see in the game at some points tomorrow, is the future. And Jed Fish has said that out loud, so I'm not speaking out of turn. When I say that, because he said it. Williams played a little bit against USC last week. Ironically, never ran the ball. He actually, you know, when he got in there, he threw it. Like, okay. And Rogers is a product of the Mike Leach system. Now, they're not running the Mike Leach system here, but there are a lot of parts in it that fit right away. One, in that system, you normally take it and you want to make that first read and fire it. And when I watch him, I feel like 80% of the time that's what I'm seeing with him. And he's a good quarterback, good thrower of the ball. And for the most part, fairly accurate. When you get him off the first read, then some problems do creep in. And the other part, too, is he's always played from the shotgun until he got into this system where every once in a while he has to be under center. And they've had some center quarterback exchange problems a couple of times this year. All right. Coleman. Jonah Coleman is a terrific running back. He is a point A to point B guy. And you rarely bring him down on first contact. I mean, you have to gang tackle this guy. And he's a bowling ball. And he may not be big in stature, but he's got about 220 pounds, and he's built like a rock. And again, first contact normally doesn't bring him down. Now let's get to what Iowa did with him. Iowa did a great job of getting him a little more side to side. Remember I keep saying point A to point B? Iowa did a good job of getting him more side to side. So let's, you know, all the draft terminology, which you know I reject because, like, just keep it simple. I'll use some draft terminology here, okay? He is terrific point A to point B. What doesn't he have? He doesn't have what you'd call wiggle. All right? Felt dirty saying it. But he doesn't have that. If you can get him going side to side, you can gain better control of him, and you also can take him down on first contact side to side. All right? Boston, the wideout, is 6'4". Good hands. Good speed. Where's number 12? Latu, the tight end. Great target. Tall, about 6'5", 6'6". And Rogers knows where he is. The offensive line has been up and down. Good at times, other times. Rodgers, whose mobility is a little bit up and down. Every once in a while, that the up and down offensive line for Washington is down, and when it is, you know, it really hurries his entire operation because he needs comfort to throw. Now, there are some games where they're protecting him decently, but for the most part, you watch them, they've been up and down up front. Defensively, their pass defense has been excellent, but you saw last week with USC, Miller Moss, and what have I said about Moss? What I've said about Moss is after finally seeing him in person, I wasn't so sure after seeing him in person how well he sees the field. And I think that's going to be one of the reasons why Jordan Maiva is going to take over as the starting quarterback for USC this week over Moss. Maiva is the transfer from UNLV. And when I'm watching the Washington game, they weren't showing the secondary, but there were times where they were dropping 7 and 8. And he had time because they were only rushing 3 at times. Looking. I was like, wow, the coverage must be great. And I thought to myself, nah, you know what? He didn't see the field very well. And when you look at the Washington games this season, they have played a lot of teams that actually don't throw the ball well. Iowa does not throw the ball well. Michigan does not throw the ball well. You look at, let's see, who else have they played along the way? They play USC, of course, can throw the ball well, but again, I talked about Moss's issue. Because then they ended up running the ball in the third quarter, and USC got back in the game and took the lead just running the football. Like, okay, thought that was an interesting thing to see. Let's see, who else have they played along the way? Indiana throws the ball well. Rourke does a good job. And Rourke had a big day against them, by the way. Rourke had a very big day. Rutgers doesn't throw the ball well. So you see what I'm saying? I think part of this is they're good. They're good defensively, but they've also have not played some of the better quarterbacks in the league. In other words, they haven't played Dylan Gabriel yet. They don't play Ohio State and Will Howard. They're going to play Drew Aller and Penn State this time. I think that's, you know, it's been two-part. They're good in pass defense in combination with the fact they have not hit murderer's row when it comes to quarterbacks yet. I mean, McNamara, Calligmanis, you know, and others that they've faced to this point, no. You know, name the Michigan quarterback, nobody knows. I think Alex Orgy started that game. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
I was going to say, I can name who it is now. I don't know if I could go game by game, though.
Davis Warren's the quarterback now.
Yeah, I don't know if I could go back and go game by game, though.
Yeah, but Alex Orgy, I think, was the starting quarterback. And then he got replaced in that game by Jack Tuttle, I think, if I recall the Washington-Michigan game. So I think it's been a combination of the two. A, give them credit. They play good pass defense. B, they have not faced... Oh, my goodness, look what they did to the Heisman Trophy winner. No. No. There's nobody in that category yet. And then Grady Gross, the kicker. Early in the season, he hurt them. He had a terrific season last year. And but at the beginning of this season, he was really up and down. He's finally steadied. And has become a plus for them again. So that's really the thumbnail I see with Washington. Good football team. I mean, good team. I mean, let's not pretend they aren't. They are. They're a good football team. Are they a great football team? No. But I think they've done a good job with this group to get them to this point. And they're flying, as I mentioned earlier in the week, they're flying in today because of the game time tomorrow. If the game time had been 3:30, they probably would have come in last night. But because the game's at 8:05 Pacific time, they're coming in today, and they're flying into State College, and they'll fly back out of Harrisburg on Saturday night, early Sunday morning. There you go. Here's your thumbnail.
I really hadn't thought about that until Bob brought it up, but that's the back half of that trip is brutal. You're probably not getting to Harrisburg till almost 2 in the morning.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's brutal.
I hope there's enough seating on the plane that they can at least spread out a little bit and grab a nap.
Yeah, I'm not sure what plane they're taking, but yeah.
I'd rather be a receiver on this trip than a lineman. How's that?
Yeah, true. No, there's no doubt about that. Yeah. So, oh, geez. I didn't realize Minnesota had a bye week before they played Penn State. Wow. How about that?
It's a lot of boat rowing.
Hey, they're playing well. They're 6-3. They're 6-3. Minnesota's a good team. Minnesota's another good team. Look, Penn State gets the playoff out of all this in this stretch run, they will have earned it. So,
I was going to say, I think people think this is the toughest game in that stretch, and I'd be a little more concerned about that road trip to Minneapolis.
Yeah. You know what? You got to take care of this week.
Yeah.
You know, and I just... I always love, like, James will bring up the 1-0, which is the easiest way to put it up. You put it up in the building 1-0, you put it up outside 1-0. It's easy to do, right? In other words, the one game at a time. And I always love the immature comments about it. And they are immature comments. Oh, what about me? You're a fan. You can take any attitude you want, right? You have nothing at stake. They do. I mean, in reality, they're the ones out there with sweat. They're the ones out there with the blood. Now, your heart and soul's in it. So, you know, but they also are throwing their heart and souls into it, too, along with the sweat equity and the blood and everything that goes with it. But that's why you got to take these things one at a time. You have no... If you're a team... And one of the more difficult things to do is to go out there and block out the noise. And it's so difficult today with social media. There's a whole bunch of, you know, I mean, and there's stuff out there that just, like, will come to my, like, somebody will bring something to my attention. I said, okay. So this was one that was brought to my attention this morning. Right? Right? There was something on Facebook that Franklin fainted at practice. Like, I looked at him and go, what? What are you talking about? Jack and I were talking to him last night in practice. We were there the whole time. Seemed pretty upright to me. It's like, what? So who comes up with this stuff? You just don't know what's real anymore out there. And that's what's it's so hard in today's social media era. That's so difficult, Todd. I mean, you must have to really deal with it at the paper trying to go, no, 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 or chasing down something that ends up being no, but you had to waste time chasing it down.
Honestly, it's not that bad in our sports section, but it's a lot of it is, I don't know if they have it out there in Center County, but, you know, there's the Snyder County news happenings, Northumberland County news happenings. And a lot of wild stuff sometimes comes out of that they end up having to check out to make sure that isn't true. you know, there's a wildfire somewhere or somebody weird's in the neighborhood or...
And yeah, that part I don't know. I don't know.
But it's, I mean, message boards, it's... I always look at it, you know, we had message boards in the early part, you know, in the late 90s, early part of the 2000s, and that stuff kind of stayed on there. But it seems like all the message board stuff just gets out and gets a life of its own. Like, you really think James Franklin fainted at practice and it wouldn't have gotten out anywhere? Like, you wouldn't have, I mean, they would have taken him to Nittany Medical Center, for heaven's sakes.
I mean, somebody came up to me today when I was out, and they said, and I said, I looked at him and go, what are you talking about? I was there the whole time. I said, he was perfectly fine talking to Jack, talking to me, coaching the defense, coaching the special teams, coaching over at the offense. Then he came over and did the talk show. Certainly seemed good to me. Seemed like the same old guy, right? Seemed like the same old guy to me.
Maybe you don't know what happened between Hoolable Hall and the talk show.
He got to the talk show early last night. Yeah, I mean, I was halfway through Mike talking with Mike Rhodes, and I'm like, oh, James is over there, and he's just sitting there listening to the show. So, I just don't know where this stuff gets started. Who comes up with this stuff? Will you sit there and go, huh? And believe me, you know, I think because I'm out and about. I don't try not to go places. How about that? So I get stopped a lot. Yeah. And I hear some of the, I would say, interesting things. I'll say, go, really? Right? You know, of course, you have to be polite about it. You're like, you're thinking to yourself, who told you that? Really? I would say the number of times that's over the years that somebody has come up to me and given me a piece of information they heard and it was accurate would be approximately 2 out of 10.
I'm impressed it's that much.
I'm grading on a curve.
Oh, okay.
I'm grading on a curve, trying to be generous. It's probably more like 1 out of 10. But I thought I'd be generous.
It's Friday afternoon. You're feeling good.
Yeah, exactly right. I got a basketball game tonight. I got a football game tomorrow. It's really like one of the truly fun weekends for me. So, I mean, it is. I mean, I got a game tonight. I got a game tomorrow. Fun. So, nobody's going to enjoy it more than me. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. More in a moment. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sun, ride with the sun,
Sunbury Motors. Hi, I'm Kyle Mertz, and I am the sun. Let's see where Sunbury Motors can save you the most money in the small SUV segment. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has unbelievable finance rates that will save you thousands in interest payments. Choose from over 50 new Hyundai Tucson's with 0% financing for 48 months or 1.99% for 60 months. Sunbury Motors Ford has $4,000 off plus 0% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Escapes and $4,100 off plus 3.9% APR for 36 months on 2024 Ford Bronco Sports. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf has incredible savings on 2025 Kia Sportages. Save over $1,500 plus get 1.9% APR for 60 months on 24 in-stock Sportages to choose from. So, what's the takeaway here? Sunbury Motors will save you the most money on your next small SUV, whether you're interested in over 50 in-stock Hyundai Tucson's, Ford Escapes, or Bronco Sports, or a new Kia Sportage.